we think of the spoken word as the last offline data set. Like, you know, like all of our emails are captured, our texts are captured, you know, like I open a Zendesk ticket, that's captured. But the most important conversations with your customers, you know, the ones where you're on the phone talking to them, those just kind of go in the ether, and the only thing you have is whether a rep takes a note of it or not.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the preeminent, almost 2 million download podcast on the planet about sales and personal development. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I just finished and launched Get Shit Done, an amazing book on productivity, procrastination, and profitability. And I'm joined by the wife,
Jen Gittimer, author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die. It's officially launch day for Get Shit Done, and we are here getting shit done.
Okay, but cool.
We have an amazing episode today.
We do.
Yeah.
And you know, have you ever heard the thing, this is the voice of God, where some announcer in the background talks about something, you can't see him or her, but they're the deep, we have today the voice of Google.
Woo!
And the person who created or helped create Google Voice launched the hell out of it and then left and created a company that is so exciting that we thought it wasn't going to be exciting and ended up by the end of the podcast buying it.
So here's the lens I want you to listen to this with. So first of all, our guest today is the great Craig Walker. And he's amazing. And I don't think this was his intention. I think he wanted to come on here and inform us about how he started his company and the cool things he went through that we could all learn from. But what it ended up being was like the best sales pitch on the planet without being a sales pitch, because he wasn't technically pitching us, though we bought. So I want you to listen to this with the lens of, if I were doing this, meaning like if you were doing this, how could you do something similar so that other people may buy from you?
Right. They don't want to hear your pitch per se, but your story can create incentive for them to take advantage. And that's the process. This guy told his story in a way that was so compelling, with the benefits or the outcomes that you're expecting for the frustrations that you have with the communications that you have right now. We had voice over IP that was the biggest pain in the ass on the planet, and he's Google Voice.
Let's get into it. Please help me welcome the great Craig Walker.
Boom. Diehards, let me explain what's happening here. We have this guy named Craig Walker. He's a California guy. In spite of that, he is a two-time startup founder and a three-time CEO who launched Dialpad with fellow Googlers or Zooglers.
Is that like ex-Googlers?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Ex-Googlers, that's a new word. He worked at Google post-acquisition and founded Google Voice.
Damn.
And Craig led Dialpad through its acquisition of Talk IQ last year and the launch of Voice Intelligence, VI. Natural language processing and machine learning capabilities that are natively built into the platform to help businesses capture and learn from conversations in real time. Please help me welcome the great Craig Walker.
Great to be here.
We are so glad you're
here. Yeah, this is like exciting for us. We actually had a meeting about you today. It was short.
Well, it was a prep.
Was it in the hallway or what happened?
No. We had an actual sit-down half-hour meeting about the value that you can potentially provide to the marketplace and how we can enhance that.
Awesome.
So, Craig, tell us what it was like creating Google Voice.
Yeah.
Like, that's massive.
So I'll tell you, my co-founder and I were at Yahoo because we had been at the startup that Yahoo acquired. And then we left pretty quickly. Yahoo wasn't all that fun at the time. And we started this company. I mean, shocking, right?
Yeah.
But it was this company called Grand Central, and our idea was we'd give you a phone number that would be basically the your phone number. You know, at the time, right. this was when you had a cell phone, a home phone, a work phone, and people would leave you messages all over the place. So we said, look, we're just going to give you the Grand Central number, and it'll ring you everywhere, and then you can have one place to, you know, get all your voicemail, one place to create all your settings, move everything to the cloud, make it really modern. And so we got acquired by Google in 2007. We relaunched as Google Voice in 2008. And I'd say some of the greatest things about that was, one, it was pretty wild time at Google. The company was about a sixth the size as it is today. So it was really entrepreneurial. Secondly, when you go from this small 25-person startup and then you have to launch that product to all Google users,
wow,
like you legitimately have to be able to scale to like 100 million users. And no one's ever really done that, like in a telephony world. Like maybe Skype did, but Skype had a lot of peer-to-peer that wasn't really touching telephony. It was just, you know, talking over the internet.
Skype so is just like Dialpad, except Dialpad works, right?
Yeah, except it actually works. It's right. Amazing. And it's had some innovations.
I love when you finish a Skype call and they say, can you please rate this? I'm like, seriously? The rating scale doesn't go down that low, but keep going.
Ouch. But yes, it was great in that you were able to build this innovative product, but build it at this insane scale. So we did that. And we had, you know, tens of millions of users. Like I have two kids in college now. All their professors, like at the start of the class, hand out their Google Voice numbers to the class. It's kind of cool.
That's classic.
That happens. So. Yeah.
My dad
was there. No, but it was an awesome experience. And then, you know, we realized, look, this isn't just for individuals. You know, every business, you look at every company on the planet, and they have these archaic phone systems with a phone sitting on a desk that no one even uses, and they pull out their own cell phones.
Right.
So our idea was, let's leave Google. Let's go build basically the Google Voice, but build it for the enterprise market and make a much better experience for, you know, every worker as well.
So did Google give you pushback, or was that just an idea that you had that it was time to leave?
No, it was interesting because we wanted to build it inside of Google. Like it made a ton of sense. They had Gmail for enterprises, would have fit really nicely into it. And at the time, Google got really obsessed with Facebook and wanted everyone to work on Google Plus, that networking.
How did that failure go?
Yeah, so the good news is we were smart enough to just leave and still keep working on the thing we wanted to work on. Mm-hmm. So and Google was great. We went to Google Ventures. They let me be an entrepreneur in residence there for 6 months while we worked on the business plan. I hired my two co-founders, were the engineering leads of the Google Voice product. And then Google Ventures did our entire Series A financing. And Wesley Chan, who had been the product manager who acquired Grand Central, he was on our board from Google Ventures. Then he left to go to Felicis, and we got Rich Miner, the co-founder of Android, to join our board.
Wow.
So we've been, like, Google's been a great partner and friend through this whole process.
And so is that how Dialpad was then born?
Yeah, that's how Dialpad was then born. We said, okay, you know, we're gonna build modern communications because we believe for enterprises, because, you know, they have to modernize, they have to move to the cloud, they have to get off all this on-prem nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having just built this massive platform for all the Google consumers, we had the experience to do it. So that was the genesis.
When you say modern communication, like, can you go into a little bit more detail what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about a traditional work phone environment, like there's something like 400 million desk phones around the world that are literally a Cisco or an Avaya $1,000 piece of plastic sitting on your desk that has all these buttons, and, you know, it's kind of like the way you used to work.
It's like a paperweight.
It's a paperweight that made sense before there were cell phones, that made sense when work was a place you went and sat at a desk for 10 hours in a row, but it doesn't make sense today. Yeah, like how amazing is it that you go and spend $1,000 of your own money to buy your own phone and bring it to work, and you just want it to work. So,
To text somebody who's sitting right next to you.
Yeah, exactly. To ask this question.
My daughter literally texts us in one part of the house to the other.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, for sure. It's way better than yelling upstairs.
It's like her intercom.
She's 10. I go, Gabrielle, do you text your girlfriends? No, I DM them on Snapchat.
Or they'll just leave FaceTime open all day long and around the room and stuff. Yeah, so that. But I forget the question. But yeah, by modern communications, it is how the way people work, we fundamentally believe, is changing. You're working from anywhere at any time.
Right.
And you're using your laptop and your mobile phone. So we want to make your laptop and your mobile phone basically the hub of your communication.
So or it's
your
like, tablet. It's or like your getting tablet. Rid or your of tablet. The desk phone that, by the way, none of our employees want on their desk.
getting rid of the desk phone, and that desk phone is likely attached to this big expensive server sitting in your back closet that some big expensive IT guy has to maintain, right?
No, we don't know what you're talking about.
It's funny because we have that, and I've asked them about 16 times. So when is our contract up? Okay, and what happens if we're not renewing? When do we need to send you that notification by?
Yeah, exactly. Let me just send it
Wait,
now.
Wait, bring that over, Adam.
Yeah. This is a brand new paperweight. They're going to be available at Overstock.
We're showing you ours. I was like, what is this? And like, by the way, I cheaped out because I was like, $1,000 for a phone? Like, that's insane because it's not a cool cell phone. So I got like the $600 ones, and no one likes the receiver because it's not like ergonomic. So it's uncomfortable to hold to your head. So now no one really uses it at all.
Try to do anything with that too. Like say you're on a call and you want to record the call. What do you do? Or say you're on the call and you want to add in a third party. Like,
I know, it's ridiculous.
No one knows how to use it. Figuring out the conferencing system on that phone is ridiculous.
You need to be a college graduate to do it. And with any phone, Android or iPhone, or even, pardon my French, Google phone, you can actually do it intuitively.
Yeah.
Something will pop up. That says, add somebody, record this, you know.
Well, that was the whole thing about coming out of Google Voice. It was a consumer product. So we kind of approached the business phone market as, let's treat these business users as consumers and make it really intuitive and easy to use. And, you know, heaven forbid, something they'll actually enjoy using. So
it goes beyond, like we use, and I don't want to swear in front of you because we hardly know each other, but we use Zoom.
Yeah.
And we use it very effectively for meetings, for our podcast. You're on it right now, literally. Is Dialpad the next evolution of that?
Well, I think Zoom does a great job in video conferencing. Like it's an evolutionary improvement from WebEx to Zoom. But that literally is just conferencing, and it is kind of a pain. I had to download an app. You are running an app. We all have to have headphones and do all these things. Where Zoom falls down is it's pretty terrible if you have to dial in. If you have to, like, I think there's like a 10-digit code you have to punch into to join by the phone.
Bueno.
As long as everyone's over video, it's fine. But once it gets to telephony, it really falls apart.
Well, the other thing is, speaking of telephony, just Adam, our producer, said that Zoom Voice blows.
Yeah. The thing is they're trying to build a phone system, which is entirely different than conferencing. And conferencing, the way they do it is they assume every single person is connected to a very big pipe and we all have super modern equipment and we have headsets and it's going to work fine. But once you go to a phone, you know, there's people on cell phones all around the world. There's people like, you know, like with terrible connection. There's people with, you know, with spotty coverage, just all sorts of things that make telephony so much harder than video.
So I want to back up for a second. What was it like? So you went from Google selling a consumer product to now selling a business product. What was it like making that switch? And how did your sales pitches and getting in the door, how did all that have to change?
Yeah, it was interesting because when we left Google in 2011, like at the time, there was still a lot of question whether a CIO or a business would ever trust voice over IP for their calls, right? And so when we started selling, we were selling to the most modern companies who were the most, you know, forward thinking on that. So, you know, companies like Uber's a great customer of ours, or WeWork's a great customer of ours. Very forward thinking, and they didn't have a lot of legacy stuff to begin with. The challenge is, had we tried, and we did try a couple times, where you're trying to sell to a legacy company that has that IT guy in his 60s who's been running, you know, Cisco and Avaya PBXs for the last 30 years, that's a tough sell because they just don't kind of get, you know.
Yeah.
Well, but then you have to make two sales. You have to sell them on the need for voice over IP and then switch. Your solution.
I want to ask a question just so our diehards can understand a little bit better. Is voice over IP to the Zoom industry and the telephone industry, to the Avaya of the world, like a taxi cab is to Uber?
Yeah, I'd say it's an Uber is to a taxi cab. So yeah, voice over IP is the modern way that means we're not running wires inside your office. So Motorola is a great customer of ours. When we went and I went to their headquarters in Schaumburg, Illinois, literally opened their phone closet, and it was this giant room with tens of thousands of blue and white wires. Mm-hmm. And every single one of those wires went out through the wall and like somehow found its way to a desk and was connected to a phone on the other side.
Yeah.
Insane. So like as soon as they went to Dialpad, all they needed to do is provide a network, which they have to provide anyway, on the floor, and then your laptop or your mobile phone become the endpoints. You don't need the wires anymore.
And so what's your process, if you don't mind sharing, with getting in with these high-level decision makers? Because we have so many diehards who have to do the same thing, right? Have to get in with these really important level, you know, C-level people. And I'm curious to know how you do it.
Yeah, so we have, I mean, we work through, we do a lot of different things, but one, we have a pretty good channel partner program, and those guys have really good connections with the C-levels, and they know who's looking at changing out a phone system or doing, you know, looking at new stuff. So that gets us into a door a lot. We have a good partnership with like Sprint's a partner of ours. They resell us, and Google's brought us into a bunch of large accounts because they were competing against Microsoft and needed a phone solution that worked really well with them. So those kind of partnership relationships work. You also have, you know, we a lot of demand gen, a lot of marketing spend, and it drives inbound interest. And so like we have a team that follows up with any inbound interest. But it's, you know, you do go to events, you do all the traditional kind of marketing things that you do to get awareness. And the nice thing is it's what went from when we left Google to start this, people wondered, would you ever trust the internet to handle your business calls? To today, everyone realizes that's the future. And there's no way in the world, I mean, like, I'd be shocked if any CIO is going to replace their legacy, you know, on-premise system with a new modern on-premise system. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right,
yeah, we have
right.
a better system than Avaya. Yeah. All you have to do is throw their shit in the street. Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing. That's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. You name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
How do you explain what you do to a C-level person without getting like overly technical and stuck in the details?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, any C-level knows that they're hiring people out of college who grew up doing nothing but having a mobile phone in their pocket their whole life. And you put that person at a desk and say, here's your awesome Cisco desk phone.
Right.
They're going to have a heart attack. And they know that.
No, here's our 50-page instruction book.
Yeah, here's the manual. It literally is 100 pages. So So it's pretty easy to say, hey, would you like your workers to be more productive? Would you like them to be able to be in contact and be able to work from anywhere at any time? Because guess what? They're not sitting at their desks from 9 to 5 anymore. And they all see it. And I think like there's been this tension in like the in these larger legacy companies of, do we support the baby boomer who has been sitting there punching on that phone for the last 30 years and feels really comfortable with it? Or do we support the millennial who's coming into the workforce and wants everything mobile? And so the way we solve that as Dialpad is, look, you can have both. You know, you don't have to have a desk phone. If you want to have a desk phone, you can. You don't have to use your mobile phone. If you want to use your mobile phone, you can. But as far as like everything else, it's just like, let the user decide, right? Like, why force them down one path or the other? And then you get a much happier user base.
Yeah, I love that you're thinking about their experience and how they're actually going to be using it
young
once
and
they
old.
Buy it.
Because Gen Xers are going to replace the millennials anyway. And those are people that are willing to pay their own phone bill.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to their mother paying their phone bill. Which
I'm waiting for that day to happen.
I would not hold my breath if I were you. Yeah. I have a feeling that that's going to – if you have daughters, they're never off the payroll.
Yeah, I got 2 out of 3.
Yeah. I have 4 out of 4.
Ooh, strong.
Yeah. And grandchildren, 4 out of 4.
Ooh. So, and we have 2 dogs.
And we have 2 dogs, 2 out of 2. And a wife, 1 out of 1.
Wow.
So I'm in the all girls all the time program.
Your stock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So on your website, you talk about voice intelligence.
Yeah.
Tell us what that is and why it's valuable.
Yeah, so this was this great company called TalkIQ that we acquired about 1.5 years ago, and they were funded by Salesforce, and they were out of San Francisco, built in a modern way, also built in the Google Cloud platform. And what they did is they were optimized to, if you're on a phone call, they would in real time convert that call to text. And then from that text, use machine learning and artificial intelligence to coach the person on the call. So if I'm a sales rep on a call and I'm getting price objections, or I'm getting questions about competitors or anything like that, the voice intelligence will actually pop up basically a battle card on the screen to tell the rep how to handle that objection in real time. And so that was when I saw that and they gave me a demo of it, I couldn't believe it. So we had to buy it.
Wait a minute.
Whoa.
Hold on a second. I'm going to challenge you with this. That artificial intelligence didn't come from the moon. It came from some human being.
Yeah.
So if the artificial intelligence is sucking the brain out of somebody that uses the Challenger sale as an example and tries to tell a 20-year-old kid to tell a 55-year-old CEO what to do and how to do it, you're screwed. So the question is...
So the AI is not coming up with the response. AI is coming up with the keys of like, this is what this question means. And then you are coming up with, hey, here's how we handle this. So like when our reps get a call, or let's say they get a question about Zoom, we have our own battle card about Zoom that we say, okay, here's how we're different or better than Zoom, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Same thing for if there's think of it in a customer support side of it.
Got
someone
it.
Asks a question, what's your return policy? What's your this or that?
Boom.
Instead of having the rep going back to the FAQs and trying to sort it out, it'll just pop up the answer for them that they can have.
That's incredible. Yeah,
that's really cool. So like normally you hear the rep be like, okay, one moment, please.
Yeah.
And they're like typing furiously to find the answer.
Is one of your answers, have you read your policy?
Yeah, that would be great.
I'll give you $1,000 if you can find my policy. How about that?
I'll tell you other cool things that it does too. So it can track the sentiment of the call in real time. So let's say I'm a supervisor and I have 100 agents on phone calls. I could see like today, I would, without artificial intelligence, I'd just be like randomly auditing and listening in on a call here and a call there, but just kind of hit and miss and scattershot. Now I can look at the dashboard of all 100 calls, see the 5 that have a very negative sentiment or the 10 that have a great positive sentiment.
Oh my God.
And I can go into those ones and actually be helpful in real time.
Wow, that's so cool.
So it's way too fucking good. You know that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so what do you... how is it that we're so stupid that we have to interview you to find out what it is? Why haven't we just known this?
Well, we were talking ahead of time that you had some great marketing ideas, so maybe we need to get you on the payroll to push, get the awareness up. But no, it's relatively new. We just we literally just started putting it in the products over the last couple months. So that's part of the reason. It's going to take a little bit for people to get used to it or get the awareness level up. But yeah, that's our view, is every call should be a smarter call, and that you should literally be able to get, you know, we think of the spoken word as the last offline data set. Like, you know, like all of our emails are captured, our texts are captured, you know, like I open a Zendesk ticket, that's captured. But the most important conversations with your customers, you know, the ones where you're on the phone talking to them, those just kind of go in the ether. And the only thing you have is whether a rep takes a note of it or not.
You know, so on your iPhone, I don't want to swear at you because we have an iPhone. And it will take your voicemail messages that come incoming and they will convert them to text.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a beta for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
When are they going to convert it?
I mean, let me tell you, even better than that. So you get your voicemail and then you look at it and you can read it and it says beta and it's got a lot of blank spaces. With Dialpad, if I get an incoming call, let's say I don't recognize a number, I'm not able to answer the call. If I hit decline, I get a pop-up on my screen that shows me the transcription of the voicemail message as they're leaving it.
Oh my
God. It's like Voxer.
Yeah, so it's awesome. You just sit there and you're like, oh, hey, actually, you know, I do want to take that call. And then you can just go grab it.
OMG, that's freaking amazing.
I love that. Oh, man. Oh, wait, it's a sale. Let me get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on. It's not a douchebag.
Well, like there's so many of them where you don't recognize the number. So you just do that. And then so we have two answers. One's like pickup, one's decline. And then the third one is mark as spam. And if it's just some sales rep, I hit the mark as spam button. So if they ever call again, it just goes straight into voicemail. And then I never have to even get rung or bother.
You mean
I love that.
We have important information that your warranty is expiring?
Yeah. or this is the Internal Revenue Service calling you with a concern. All those go straight to voicemail now.
So what do you think is the future of business communication for the next like 10 years? What's coming?
I mean, I think this is it. It's like free everyone to be as productive as they can be from anywhere, like legitimately more and more app-based stuff versus hardware-based stuff. And then the artificial intelligence, like we're the first to really build it internally to the core of our offering. Everyone's going to have to do that because it just makes the call so much more impactful and valuable. Like legitimately, I can join a conference call 10 minutes late and scan the transcript before I even get on the call to see what I missed. Like there's just so many different little improvements and how it can make your communications better. So I'd say just continuing improving.
Better, Craig, more valuable.
Yeah, more valuable. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that there's a whole process there that says what's the value of your use of time? What is the value of the present system that you have? What does it cost versus what is it worth? Not the ROI bullshit, because I can't stand that.
Yeah.
But what's the value of it? What is the worth of it compared to how you're currently investing your time and your money into something that's pretty much fucking dead?
The fact that legitimately, when you look at the market, if there's 400 million desk phone on-premise lines, and there's only 10 million that have moved to the cloud so far, like the interesting, most exciting thing of the next 10 years is getting those other 390 million to move over to the cloud and what that means for being able to do cool stuff.
If 10% of them decide they're going to switch to you, I think you're fine.
That's all I need, just 10%.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that will come because eventually we age out.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the guys who really like holding that desk phone, they're a dying breed.
I think that, I created something of a scenario where my daughters come and they gather around me and all their friends. And my daughter says, hey, Dad, hey, look, you guys, my dad's still using a keyboard. And that's funny, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have this product. It's not just a product of today. It's a product of tomorrow.
What do you do to stay ahead of everyone else? It seems like you're a pioneer, you're a leader in this. I mean, you created Google Voice. That's pretty damn cool.
Dude.
But like, what do you do personally to be on the forefront of everything?
Well, I'd say one of the cool things about living in the telephony world is it's not the most innovative space. So like legitimately, like you look like you're a rock star by just doing something. Like, what are the last features that AT&T rolled out? Call waiting, three-way calling, like caller ID. Like there, if you look at every single
25 years old, it's 25 years old. Yeah.
Look at every single ad for every single phone service. And literally the ad is one of two things. I got the best network and I got the new iPhone. And that's it. They don't talk about any other thing. Like, what, I am dying to see a new feature come out from a phone company. It just doesn't happen. So I think it's been like taking the mindset of what would a user want? How do you make this better from a user's perspective? And I was at a conference once and the guy asked me, he was like, hey, so if you were the head of AT&T or Verizon, what would you do? And I'm like, first thing I'd do, I'd like fire half the lawyers and I'd triple the size of my design team. Like, you guys spend, you know, like, go to your website.
Wait, only like, half the lawyers?
Yeah. Well, you probably, you know, you're getting sued by the other phone company. So you got to like keep some defense in there. But at the end of the day, like, you go to Verizon's website, other than the ability to pay your bill or purchase a new phone, the whole rest of it's impossible. Like, I was looking for child parental controls and all these other things. It's buried. It's horrible. Like, it's clearly they don't care about it. Right. Like, it's literally focused on just a couple of things.
Let me throw some insight at you, because I'm just a little bit older than you, not much. But when MCI came out, AT&T was looking pretty bad for how they had gouged everybody for years and years. And then all of a sudden they wanted to be your friend and yeah, we can join your family and all that kind of bullshit. But for the last literally 40 years or more, the only response that they've had to the market was reduce their price.
Mm-hmm.
Not innovation, because we go to Europe all the time. We're Francophiles. And it used to be hundreds of dollars, almost thousands of dollars to use your phone in Europe, and now you can use it for $10 a day. Yeah. And I guarantee you they're making money at $10 a day.
Yeah.
So what's next? They pay me to use my phone in Europe?
Well, I mean, and guess what? It would still be like $1,000 if it wasn't for WhatsApp and Skype and all these other things where people just said, screw it, we're just not going to use a phone service anymore.
Right, exactly.
And then all of a sudden they magically had this ability to lower costs by 90%.
Yeah, they make a lot of things appear by magic.
Yeah, well, like international long distance, like calling Europe used to be like 50 cents a minute.
Yeah.
Like it's preposterous. It's now like 2 cents. So it's, you know, when you don't have competition, and like telephony forever was a regulated industry, so you didn't have competition, that prices were artificially high and you just had monopolistic behavior. So once you introduce competition, people find better ways.
Big time. Not only better ways, but making the behemoth look pretty archaic.
Yeah.
Like they need a wheelchair just to get around. So I have one other question that's been driving me nuts this whole interview. Who designed your logo?
Ooh, we worked with a group called Character in San Francisco to design it.
It's beautiful.
He's obsessed.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Nobody has to know what it is. It says everything.
Awesome.
Whoever those people were that do you spend a lot of time in San Francisco?
Yeah, our headquarters is in San Francisco.
So when you go there, do you go to the Tadish Grill?
Yeah, we're right down the street. We're on California, and they're right down the street from us.
I love that place. I love that.
Let me know the next time you're out there. I'll wander down.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
Actually, we'll make a date for it, because I have a feeling that we're going to be your customer.
Good. See, this is how we get customers.
I got it.
There you go.
Yeah, we were a tough sell. All we had to do was
see the product or hear about it.
Well, keep this in mind, diehards. We had no idea what this was before this call. We found out that the leader and the innovator, the entrepreneur, was actually a nice person who is affable and intelligent and has girls. And
we developed a dialogue that developed into just a conversation, no sales pitch. No, he never said, hey, do you want to do this? Mm-hmm. He never said, hey, do you want to try it? We're going to fucking buy it.
Well.
All right. Well, like, maybe we'll try. Okay, but listen.
They might give it to us.
The bottom line is this. Listen to how this presentation was done without any purpose whatsoever or any bottom line or ulterior motive or whatever. It just evolved into a value exchange conversation rather than a pitch. And that's what you need to take away from this lesson today.
Totally. This has been awesome. Craig, thank you so much for joining us. Where should people go to get more information?
Dialpad.com.
Yeah, dialpad.com. Cool. And we got a toll-free number there. Just give us a call. We're available 24/7.
So instead of paying 2 cents a minute, 24/7. You can now get it for free.
Exactly. Man. Exactly. No, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
The pleasure's ours. The pleasure's ours. Cheers.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Can you see why we bought? Like, really, can you see?
I know.
Like, legit.
It's an easy buy. Yeah. It replaced 5 other things that we're screwing around with right now that we had to add, keep reminded to do this, reminded to do that. This thing does it all.
Yeah, it definitely simplified a lot of the things that we're doing. And this is really cool. So in the time, during the time that we actually recorded that episode and now, we've already begun to implement our new dial pad lines. We're getting rid of all of our land lines. Literally, we're going to make a fun video where we roll them down into the dumpster.
Right.
Okay, I think that video is going to be viral because no one ever needs a landline again, number one.
It's crazy. And those were phones that cost us $1,000 a pop.
They were horrible too.
And
you
had to go, you had to take a college course in how to use a freaking phone.
We didn't understand them. They had
how to transfer a call. I never,
crazy.
You know what? I never learned how to transfer the call.
No, you didn't.
I just
said, it wasn't like an easy transfer button. It was so complicated.
I just said, just a second, Stacy will call you back. And that was the easiest way for me to do it. Now, we have an app, and the app does every, you can be a freaking moron.
Yeah.
And the app will work for you.
Yeah.
We're transferring calls from Florida to North Carolina in a heartbeat, or conference lines, or adding people, or taking people off. And at the end, you get the whole transcript.
I think, you know, so I judge a company in two ways. Number one, how they make the sale, because I think that's really important and sets the tone for how they're going to or could possibly deliver, and then how they deliver.
Yeah.
And the delivery of this has been amazing because they've really held our hands the whole way, which has
not
been
like
super cool.
Not like hand-holding, like,
No.
But you, like, you know what I mean.
So anyway.
Hey, you guys need your hands held? No, what they did was they gave us information the minute we needed it. Like we had some training, which helped, just a couple of training sessions, and that got us on the road. But then there's like little things that you have to learn about it. Email response, or text response.
Yeah, we actually message our contact now in like as a text almost in the Dialpad app. This was like the greatest sales pitch of all time. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and get rid of your phones, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.